Great. Well, look, we're going to talk about pray, give, and go for a long time, I think, because that's what we're supposed to do. So that's been our theme here for a little while, since the beginning of the year. So prayer, I want Janet Plum to make her way up here. Janet, if you could, and we need that microphone. But on the way, that's Janet's going to talk about prayer and how it restores relationships. But last week we had Thomas Spir di Digliosi. Not bad, eh? I don't know whether it's right or not, but it's good enough. He came and he shared about what's going on in Europe and in Italy, and we took up an offering after the offering, and I just want you to know that it was called the Firewood Project for people to have warmth in their houses, and we raised over $2,500. You raised over $2,500 for families to be warm this winter. Congratulations. You imagine there's going to be people sitting by a warm fire because of last week's offering. That's awesome. Janet shared with me a little thing about how prayer restores relationships, and I just really felt that it was important for all of you to hear.
Thank you, Pastor Jim. Yes, last Monday I came in and I was walking on the clouds. So this is about it's about prayer, it's about my family, and just so that you understand perhaps a little bit about my joy. I was so joyful last Sunday. I'm going to read just a paragraph out of a letter I wrote to BC Corrections last year on February the 4th, and it's about my son David. He's been in and out of the correctional facilities for over 25 years, detoxing, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll read this paragraph. I said to the judge, David has missed many opportunities because of the drinking, violence, abuse, and neglect from his father until he was 10, his formative years. His father and I separated and reconciled many times, and we moved many, many times during those years. David changed schools many times as well. When he was 15, I remarried, and his stepfather was even more violent and abusive. Because he assaulted David and his 13-year-old brother, David chose to leave home a couple months before his 16th birthday. So it was that event of David leaving home that really brought me to a place of saying, God, are you real? I can remember sitting at my desk in my office in a room with seven other people, but it was my first prayer because I hadn't believed in God. And my first prayer was, God, it was December, actually, I have to say, it was Christmas Eve. And I sat at my desk, and my prayer was so heartfelt, I could have believed that I said it out loud, but I know I didn't say it out loud because I was at work. And my prayer was simply, God, if you're real, and if Jesus really is your son, and if this is your son that came to earth this Christmas, please let me know. I'm so heartsick, and I poured out my heart to God about my son and about my children and about my family situation. And I have to tell you, in less than a minute, that prayer was answered in a most profound way, where I was boggled. There is a God.
Amen.
If you will seek him with all your heart, he will be found. So I have to say, fast forward about 38 years. Last year on February the 1st, David was in corrections, and he was facing possibly federal time for the first time in his life, and he was broken. And I had the privilege on February 1st last year of leading him to the Lord. He confessed God.
Hallelujah.
That month before, I had started attending the Sunday night prayer times where we prayed specifically for our families. That's not to say for the previous 38 years I hadn't been praying. There were ups, there were downs, there was times when I felt God was so far away. And I would encourage all of you, when you're in those times, when you're in the valleys, don't be ashamed to reach out and ask your relatives that are members of the body of Christ to pray for you. Pour out your need. And I've had so many people that I want to thank, especially in this body of believers, who have stood with me and have prayed, especially for David and for my family. And we're so much more power when we pray together and reach out together. So David prayed the prayer of salvation. I wrote, that was February 1st. I wrote that letter February 4th. And he got sent to a fantastic correctional facility on Vancouver Island for 6 months. 6 months he's in a halfway house, and next Thursday he gets out of the halfway house. And he has recognized and shared with his brother, he can see God's hands moving.
Amen.
He knows
Amen.
That God and what has happened to him this last year would not have happened without the prayers of the people, especially in this body. And he has said to tell me to say thank you to you. So God bless you all. I know there's still a battle ahead, but I'm so enlightened. So I came in, so last Sunday was David's birthday. And for the first time in over probably 35 years, David, we had it at his house. He's found housing. He found a good paying job. And so we all were together for his birthday. His brother and his sister and his daughter and a niece and myself and a great-granddaughter. And I tell you, we had so much fun. So Monday, I came into the church walking on clouds. So thank you, Pastor Jim, for letting me share this.
Thank
and
you.
Thank you all. God bless you.
Thanks, Janet. Janet, there was last year at this time, that wasn't possible, right?
When I look back to a year, yes, I thought, what a difference a year. This is what I said to Pastor Jim, what a difference a year makes. And he said, what a difference prayer makes.
Amen. Bless you. Careful as you go down. Thank you so much, Janet. I want to encourage you that prayer is effective. Prayer is so important. Giving is so important. And then going is so important. So I want to just look at some of this. The presence of God is what prayer is all about. The presence of God. And so the week before Pastor Thomas came, I was on a scripture in Luke chapter 9, verse 27 to 36, and it's called Lessons from a Mountaintop, and it's the transfiguration or the transformation. And so it kind of goes like this. Well, a transfiguration, first of all, is to change into another form, to transform, to transfigure. Christ's appearance was changed and was resplendent with divine brightness on the mountain of Mount of Transfiguration. So he was so bright in the change and the transformation of what happened there. I'm reading a book by Len Sweet, and it's The Bad Habits of Jesus. How many of you would read that book? It's not negative at all. The Bad Habits of Jesus. And some of them, I won't talk about them all, but one of them was he'd disappear. He would disappear on people. People would be talking to him, then he'd disappear. And then he'd reappear. And so we kind of don't think about it. We wouldn't want God to have any bad habits, right? We wouldn't want it to think that he has any bad habits. Well, he had a bad habit of disappearing to be with the Father because it was more important to be in relationship with the Father before he could do the ministry that he was called to here on earth. And so he went up, he disappeared. This time he took a couple of guys with him, three guys. And so it says here in verse 27, truly I tell you, some of you are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 20 or chapter 9, verses 27 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him, and they went up into the mountain to pray. This is the inner circle, some people call it, James and Peter and John, that he kind of hung out with them, and he allowed them into some places where the other disciples didn't get to go. So they're up on the mountain. And as he was praying, that's what he went up to do. He didn't go up for the sights. Jesus doesn't need the sight from the top of the mountain because he created him. And he had actually a God's view of all the mountains. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became bright as a flashing of lightning. Have you ever been there when there's been a big sheet lightning or a fork lightning in a dark night and it just goes woof, just lights up the world? So you're on the top of the mountain and Jesus transforms like this. That's pretty special effects, don't you think? I mean, we have some movies that do some pretty awesome stuff. But Jesus did this a long time ago. He transformed. He just became brilliant. Here's an interesting thing. Then two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. Oh, now what do we got? Is this reincarnation? Or is this open heaven? This is open heaven. You hear about it. You hear preachers talking about open heaven, where there's nothing between you and God's presence in heaven. And so now, here's Jesus up on the mountain with the Father talking, and he's talking with Elijah and Moses because they're there in heaven waiting for us. Wouldn't you like to be part of that conversation? Wouldn't you be alert, on your feet, blown away, like with your cell phone? Got to get this, man. Got to get this. And then tweet it. This was an open heaven. This is where we live today. This is what Jesus is trying to teach us, even from bringing these three guys up on the mountain to talk with God. He wants you to be in an open heaven relationship with him. And these three, Moses and Elijah and Jesus, spoke about his departure, which he is about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. So this is an ongoing thing that's happening in Jesus' life. He's always constantly in contact with God the Father about, in a few days, he's going to be nailed to the cross for our sins. The only one in this whole entire of creation that doesn't have sin. Did I just say that? I mean, you'd be blown away. The light was so bright, you'd be like wide awake. Your eyes would be like huge. Peter and his companions were very sleepy. Come on. Prayer can put you to sleep. How many believe that? Jesus is up there praying with the Father. He's got his relationship with the Father, but how many of you have prayed for an hour but actually slept for 55 minutes? Okay? But you can still count it as being before the Lord, right? Being before the Lord with a crease that goes across your head from the pew, or maybe carpet burn on your cheek because you didn't wake up quick enough to stop it, right? I remember when I was studying to go into ministry, I have a book like this. I would have a Bible, or I'd have something, I'd be reading it. And I would go, you know, I didn't read very well. So I would have pretty soon like this, and then down and down. Honestly, in the basement of the church, a holy place. And I would wake up and I would go in the bathroom to wash my face, and there would be a crease up there from the inside of the book. We sometimes get sleepy. Here's Jesus. He says, these three guys, you're going to experience something that nobody else will ever experience. And what happens? They were sleepy. But when they came fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing there. Now, they knew about Moses and Elijah. They'd never seen him because they were long dead. But they would see Jesus fully radiant and full of just all this beautiful whiteness and brightness. And then they would see these other dudes, and they would be talking about Jesus going to the cross to pay for our sins. And as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter, I love Peter. Can we relate to Peter? Said to him, Jesus didn't ask him for anything, but Peter said, Master, it's good for us to be here. Oh, yeah. I think that would be probably a pretty good statement. It was good for us to be here in praise and worship. I think it's good for us to be here in church. I think it's great for us when we get into glory. But there was a transformation. There was holiness visible. That's what it was. You are covered over with the robes of righteousness. They are garments of salvation. You have this beautiful white robe on you because of Christ. And so this whiteness and this beauty was there. And Peter said, Master, it's good for us to be here. So let's just stay here, okay? We don't want to go back. Let us put up three shelters. You know, I think Peter's theology is a little messed up here because we don't want to put up three tabernacles for three gods, one named Jesus, one named Elijah, and one named Moses. But he was so blown away. I think the shock of the situation says, we'll put one up for Moses and one for Elijah and one for you. He didn't really know what he was saying. Sometimes, you know what? We're in the presence of God. We don't know what to say. And sometimes, and maybe you've even felt that, I don't think I should have said that. I wasn't thinking straight. I didn't get my words right. I didn't get my thoughts right. I wanted to express it differently. Jesus didn't say, you know what, Peter, that's the stupidest thing I heard today. What's wrong with you? Why can't you just drink in the moment? He didn't do that. He just said, nothing. Isn't that great? We expect to be chastised when we make a mistake, when we blow it, when we don't do it right. So while Peter was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they are afraid to enter the cloud. Okay, now, so this radiant, beautiful Jesus is standing there, Elijah and Moses, and Peter's already starting to build some, you know, get some land, get some real estate up there, and establish himself in what he believes, and he's going to have, you know, the church, three of them together, the church of Moses, the church of Elijah, and the church of Jesus. And while he's doing that, all of that comes under the Shekinah glory, the glory of God. What's the Shekinah glory? I was helping out yesterday with the cooking, and so you get to do help you out with the cleanup. So we have a dishwasher that's awesome. 2.5 minutes, these dishes are done. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. But when you open it, when it's done its cycle and you got glasses on, the Shekinah glory hits you, I'll tell you. You are enveloped. You cannot see anything. And that's exactly what happened here. They could not see anything. And they didn't want to get into that cloud because clouds on mountains can disorient you. You don't know where you're going. And a voice came out of the cloud. Whoa, this is getting better. You know, you got this bright, shining guy, and then you got this cloud enveloping, and then all of a sudden you're in the dark, basically, or in the clouds. You ever been in the clouds where you don't know what's up, down, or sideways? I remember as a paramedic flying into Castlegar, they call it Cancelgar because you can't get in there very often, and we're flying down, and it was so enveloped with clouds that we couldn't see anything. And they come by instruments, which is really good, but I don't trust the instruments. I like to look out the window and see where I'm going. And so these pilots were flying down, and they said, oh, we can't make it, so we went, turned around, came back down. I didn't know where they're turning around. Because it was going like this, and it was all gray. And we turned up here, and it was all gray. And then we went back here, and it was all gray. And then it went down again, and it was still all gray. That's what it would have been like on the top of the mountain. And out of that cloud, comes a voice that says, this is my son, and whom I've chosen. Listen to him. That's for us. This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him, because he died for your sins, because he is the only way to the Father, because he is love, and love envelopes everything just like this cloud. Let him envelope your life today. Let him just completely saturate you. And when the voice had spoken, they found out that Jesus was alone. So the cloud obviously lifted, the voice stopped, and Elijah and Moses were gone. And Jesus wasn't brilliantly radiant in the transformation anymore. When Jesus would disappear, one of his bad habits, what would happen? Like sometimes he didn't take anybody with him, and he would go to these different places. Can you imagine getting together with God and having that kind of a relationship? Getting together with him and having that kind of excitement? That's what it's all about. That's the kind of relationship he wants us to have with him. So the disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. So they didn't write about this yet. It's in the Gospels, but they didn't write about it for another 40, 50 years. Actually, the Gospels were written after that, maybe 30, somewhere around 70 and 80 AD. They kept it to themselves. I want to just focus here a bit more on the open heaven. And I'm not talking that maybe what you've heard about open heaven before, maybe it is, I don't know. But from my perspective, open heaven is the prayer is the doorway to an open heaven. That's it, prayer. Prayer is the doorway to an open heaven. So let's look at Adam and Eve. This is so powerful. In Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9, it says this, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." So here's the open heaven. You can talk with God. They would hear the sound of God walking in the garden. You ever thought of that? Did you read that part? Like they knew that they were in the garden, but they could hear the sound as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Wow. He's real, people. Amen. He's real. He's not some supernatural. He is supernatural. He's super supernatural. He's not something that we can't relate to. Something. He is someone we can relate to. And so the idea was to have this open heaven in the Garden of Eden in the beginning so that they would just have this beautiful place. Look at these flowers. These are not artificially transformed into something that they're not. These are original colors. God is the artist. He can do that. And I love flower arranging, and somebody can put those together, but you've been in alpine meadows, or you've been in where they grow tulips, or you've been in different places, and there's just rows and rows and rows and acres of beauty. Who does that? God. Who puts those colors together? God. He's the most amazing artist in the world. Well, and out of the world. I mean, look at the cosmos. If you've ever done any research on the universe and the solar systems and the whole cosmos, you'll see some beautiful colors. They're just absolutely spectacular. Isn't that wonderful? That's the God who lives inside of you. It's the God who wants to talk. So in the Garden of Eden, I can only imagine what the Garden of Eden was like. It was a beautiful, I love going to like Bouchard Gardens or those places where they're just, everything is so beautiful. Somebody else weeds it. I love it. I like walking in there. You had the Garden of Eden. That was an open heaven. Open heaven to earth. And it says, and they hid from the Lord among the trees when they heard him. And God said, "Where are you?" "I don't know where you are." I don't think that was it. God knows where you are. God knows where Adam was. But the beauty of this is that he had a relationship with them, and they had disobeyed, and that's where we have original sin, and that separated them. And now it wasn't as easy to get into that open heaven relationship with God, because there was something that drew a barrier and put a barrier in between man and God, and that was sin. And so man went and hid. God pursued him. Isn't that beautiful? He didn't say, "No more walks with you. You're done. You messed up, you're done." He didn't do that. Instead, he said, "Where are you?" Because you see, I want to have this relationship. I want to continue it, even though you separated yourself from there. Look at Stephen in the book of Acts, the New Testament, chapter 7, verse 54. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, because he was preaching the gospel, he was preaching how the Jews had killed Jesus, and they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him, which is really a nice sight, don't you think? You know, like, you can imagine a whole bunch of religious people coming, and then, like, I got a feeling that must have been what it was like. I don't know how you gnash your teeth if you don't do that. And just think, if some of them didn't have all their teeth, how scary that would be. Looked like a jack-o'-lantern. Well, I don't know, I think that's a pretty good expression of anger, gnashing your teeth. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. All right? He's got a lot of opposition. He's not looking for the exit. We got exits here. If you don't like this, you can boot. Stephen couldn't go anywhere. He wasn't looking for an exit. He knew where his exit was, and he looked up. He knew. He knew that when he looked up, the heaven was open to him. The heaven was open to him. And he saw the glory of God. You know what he saw? He saw the Shekinah. He was enveloped in it. I get thinking about this, I get pretty emotional, because he saw God in the midst of that turmoil, in the midst of that fear, and he knew he was going to die. The religious people of that day were going to kill him because he said that Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And that's what he says in verse 56. Look, he said, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God. Well, they killed Jesus. They sure didn't want to hear that he's up there at the right hand of God, because that confirms everything that he said. And so they're there with their rocks ready to kill him. And Stephen is going, hey, look, I see Jesus. Maybe he didn't do it with that much enthusiasm, but I'll tell you, he knew where he was going. And we need to know where we're going. We need to know that whatever situation, whatever happens in our life, we are going to go, and we need to keep our eyes open on the open heaven so that we can see Jesus and see the Father. So what about Jesus himself? John 17, verses 1 to 5 says this, Jesus after this said, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Isn't that interesting? People say, well, I wonder if heaven's up there. I kind of think it must be up there, because Jesus looked up and said, I'm praying. Right? And he says this, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. That's what this baptism was all about. Is people publicly saying, inside of me, I was once dead in sin, and now I'm alive in Christ, and I can see into heaven. You know that? I can see into heaven. And you know what? You're looking into heaven is very accepted. Jesus continues on. He says, this is eternal life, that they know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, he hadn't yet been crucified, but he knew where he was going. I want to leave this earth knowing that I've done what he's called me to do. And that might not be what you're called to do. You need to know what he's called you to do, and you need to get on that bus and just get excited. No, don't get on the bus, because that's like a tour. Get on the adventure, like our buddy Bear Grylls here, who takes people way back in the wilderness and makes them climb rock faces and scares the stuffing out of them, and then says, oh yeah, okay, we're going to head out of here, and I have a chopper coming in, and we're gonna long lead it out of here. So they're flying up through a valley on a cable. Did you check the cable to make sure it's safe? Just a harness and a cable, and you're flying. I love that kind of stuff. That's the kind of Jesus that we're talking about here. That you're gonna when the rapture comes, you're gonna be long lined out, okay? You're gonna go, boom, even better. You're not even gonna have to have a harness, because you ain't gonna fall back. I know ain't isn't good for, but you're not. You are not going to fall back. But you ain't either. You just need to understand that this is an exciting place to be. That we have this open heaven that we can relate to, and one day we'll be able to look into that heaven and know that in an instant we're going to be there because of what Jesus did. And then he finishes at least this part of the prayer. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you. Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. You ever had any trouble with Jesus being God, eternal? He was there before the world began. And we know that he created this world, created all of us. Goes right back to this circle. We need to understand that we have an open heaven. We need to understand that God is present here with us. Is that a little bit kind of confusing? He's up there, he's here with us. He just everywhere. Omnipresent is the big word. So he's present everywhere. Omnipotent would mean he's all powerful. More powerful than anything that you're facing in your life today. He is all powerful. All is all inclusive, okay? All inclusive. That means snacks along the way. That all the things that you need when you go on a holiday that's all inclusive, they don't have to pay for them because you pay it up front. Well, Jesus paid it up front. Everything's all inclusive. And then he's omniscient, which means that he's all-knowing. That you can't stump him. There's nothing that he doesn't know about you. There's nothing he doesn't know about you. He loves you. He is all-powerful for you. He is always present with you. And he's all-knowing about what you're going through. Can you receive that this morning? Can you walk in an open heaven? Not that you're going to get things poured down on you with new trucks, cars, and boats, and houses, and all that kind of stuff. That's not the open heaven I'm talking about. You all have a place to live. We listened to our brother share how, you know, he went and planted a church in Botswana and had no money. And just a powerful walk of faith that this guy had. He planted a church. And then he stayed in that church for 9 years. One day he was so hungry, but he didn't have anything to eat. Oh, I couldn't do this. There was some bugs that come out of the ground on a certain day, and so he didn't have anything to eat. And he just thought, well, I'll open all the windows, turn all the lights off outside, and so keep the lights on inside, and so the bugs will come in. And then he closed all the doors, and he got a bottle of water, and he ate the bugs. Whoa, man. Oh, don't do that to me, Lord. If I have to eat bugs, I'll throw up things I ate on my fifth birthday. I know it. I know that's how sick I'll be. John the Baptist ate locusts and stuff. Some people say, well, they're little flowers like this. No, they're the ones with the legs. You know, because there's good protein in them. They didn't even have chocolate then to dip them in, or they couldn't fry them in garlic or anything. Oh, no, I can't, I don't know. He will meet your every need. And when you hear about someone like our friend, Pastor Joachim, he just walked in that kind of faith, and now he's here and still walking in faith. Because he knows the open heaven. He saw some things happen. The church went from nothing to 150 people over those years. And just powerful, powerful stuff happened. Touched people's lives. Open heaven. Are you ready for that? Are you willing to go and look up there? And say, hey, I want some time on a mountaintop. Randy, if you'd come with your team. I need some time with the Lord. I need some time. It's really good to just get away from everything, all electronics, all maybe the creature comforts, and just find some time with God. I talked to my staff here, our pastors here, and said, you need to pull a couple of days every 3 or 4 months and just go away. Not with your family, not with anyone, not to a conference, not to just go away and if you can fast and pray. Spend some time. Jesus did it all the time. He disappeared. Maybe it was a bad habit, but let me encourage you to have a bad habit of disappearing on people. Not in the middle of a conversation or a significant crisis, but why don't you disappear with him? Why don't you look for that open heaven? Why don't you just say, oh, wow, I can see you, Jesus. I can see you. I can see you because one day, you want to be familiar with that sight because one day you're going to get caught up. Maybe you'll die from whatever in this fallen world that happens, or maybe you'll live to a ripe old age, and maybe you'll be caught up in the rapture because we believe in that in our denomination and our faith. But you don't have to wait for those days to see the open heaven. It's today. Get you to stand, please. Last week, a lot of people came down for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of people came down for healing, and one person made a commitment to Jesus Christ that had never made a commitment before. I'm going to say this prayer with you. And before, I'm going to pray for you first, and then I'm going to say this prayer. Because I really feel that the most important thing you can ever do, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the most important thing you can ever do in your life is believe that He's the Son of God and that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that He is the only way to the Father, and He is the only way through what He's done on the cross so that you can have an open heaven in your life. Maybe that's all brand new to you. Don't let me convince you. Let the Holy Spirit that is very visible here, maybe it's tugging on your heart right now. Maybe just pulling on your heart saying, hey, this is what you've been searching for. This is what you need in your life. Pastor Stephen, would you come up? And I'm going to say the prayer in English, and I'd like you to say it in Mandarin. Would you do that? Okay. I'll pray and then you pray. You don't have to use my words, okay? So I'm going to pray first. First, Lord, there are people that are just everybody's head bowed, and we're just going to just take that quiet time again and think about Jesus. Lord, I pray right now for everyone here that you would minister in their hearts and their lives, and that your Holy Spirit would just really tug right now, and that there would be no barriers for them to respond to you, that there would be an openness to say, Jesus, I want to come and be part of your family. So I'm going to say this prayer, and then Pastor Stephen can say it after in the way he feels that he needs to. But I want you to say it out loud with me, and then he will say it in Mandarin. You can say it out loud with him if you speak that language. But in English, Father, I want to thank you for loving me. I want to thank you that you have given me your son, Jesus. And you have healed through his death on the cross that barrier that kept us from having an open relationship with you as in the Garden of Eden. Where original sin happened. And we inherited that, not by our choice. So I ask right now for you to forgive me of my sin and that I would have freedom and righteousness and holiness in my life. And I receive you and accept you, Jesus, as my personal Savior. Amen. Pastor Stephen.
如果您是说国语的，那刚才 Pastor Jim 就告诉我们说，我们在神面前是罪人，但是主耶稣已经为我们做了一切的事。他死在十字架上，为的是要将永生给我们，洗净我们过去一切的罪，将一个新的生命赐给我们。如果您有今天早晨，朋友们，您也许是第一次来到教会，也许您来教会已经有一阵子，但是今天早晨， 你有特别的感动，觉得神在你生命当中做一个奇妙的工作，那您可以跟我一起祷告。天父，感谢你，谢谢你不仅创造了我，而且你的儿子耶稣基督洗净我一切的罪。我来到你的面前，来领受你给我的生命，新的生命， 荣耀的生命，圣洁的生命，你让我能够重新跟你建立美好的关系。我赞美你，Give you glory， 奉耶稣基督的名祷告，阿们，阿们。
So what I'd like you to do is Pastor Randy's going to lead us in Good Good Father, is it? And I just want you to, if you made that commitment to Jesus for the first time, or maybe you recommitted your life to Christ, then I want you to come up and just come over here. If you need prayer for anything, I just want you to come to the front and we'll pray. Can we have the board members and their wives and pastors just to come up to the front and we'll just pray for people. Could you please come up quickly and then we'll just... And those who need prayer, please come up.
如果您第一次,
Hallelujah.
刚才有做了这个祷告, 您想要到前面来, 让我们,
Thank you, Lord.
您可以很自由地,
Thank you, Lord. If you made that commitment to Jesus Christ, this is the place to come. We got some materials for you. We got some encouragement for you. Lord, we just want you to, we want you to feel His presence. If you have prayer for requests for anything, please come forward and ask Christ for that.
如果你有任何祷告的需要, 您都可以很自由地到前面来, 我们的祷告的同伴会为你来祷告。 Amen.